We discussed a lot of different things. Maybe I'll tie up some more, some loose ends today. We discussed a lot about the din of Sofik Tuma B'Shus HaYochid Sveika Tome and Sofik Tuma B'Shus HaRabim Sveika Tohar. Where is it learned out from? It's learned out from the Parsha of Soita, that it says by the Soita, if there's Kinui Yastira, let's say a woman is married and one day she violates the Isu Yichud. She's misyachedes with someone other than her husband. Her husband is not choshed her. She's misyachedes. So she violated many all that the Isu Yichud is their Isa. The Gemara learns it from a pasuk. Some learn that the pasuk is only intended as an asmachta. That's a question. But the pasuk shat the Gemara. The Gemara said Yichud their Isa. The Gemara says that David HaMelech was Gozman Yichud. The Gemara says Yichud is their Isa. Way before the days of David HaMelech, the Gemara says David HaMelech was gozan yichud penuyo. The din derai says yichud with an erva. Erva means an isa kares, an eshesish with someone other than a husband. That's an isa kares. An exception to the rule is a father with his daughter. There's no isa yichud. That's what the Gemara learns out from a pasuk. A mother with her son, a father with a daughter, a brother and a sister. There's no isa yichud. The Gemara has misyachid adim imachos avalodor imachos. Let's say a brother and a sister both live out of town, and the brother is going to yeshiva, sister is going to Stern College, and they want to rent an apartment together to save money. So that you're not allowed to do it. To live bikvias together is also, there's always a yichud. If the parents go to a wedding and just have the brother and the sister left at home for a couple of hours, that's yichud. So yichud is muta, brother and the sister. But dor and machosa is not allowed. That's the Gemara, the end of Kiddushin. So even though a brother and a sister is kares, and a father and a daughter, and a mother and a son is kares, that's an exception to the rule based on a pasuk, because it's we assume that it's highly improbable, highly unlikely that that they're going to be mezana with each other. so the Gemara says even though an eshes is violated yichud, you don't aser ala yichud. The person violated an isa, but there isn't even a latest asafik that the woman was mezana. Mechatesa, there's no leis hasafik, there's no reis. She did something wrong. She violated yichud, but you don't ask her. Let's say a married woman kisses a different man. She dances with someone other than her husband. She violated an isa, kiruv basar, to dance with someone other than your own husband, according to the Ramam, is an isa deraisa. According to the Ramban, is an isa derabanan. La sikruvu la galaserva. So the Rambam quotes from the Sifra, not Pasuk, the sikruvu la galaserva, and he said kiru basar. And the Ramban holds that that was only intended as an asmachtim of the Rabbanu. The Mechaber writes like the Rambam. Mechaber writes that it's an isa deraisa, and the Rambam, and he quotes that you get malchus. What does he write? That there's malchus. There's manas that nobody has any business smuchim. So the Mechaber and Ebenezer writes that if an eshesish dances with someone else, or you kiss someone else's wife, you get malchus because of kirubasa. He means to say that it's an isa deraisa, as opposed to the Ramban. He's taking a stand on the machloikis and the sefer mitzvahs between the Rambam and the Ramban, that the Rambam holds this is one of the lavim in the Torah, sikavu legala serva. There's an isa not to be bual hanido. It's one isa, then it's an isa, la sikvu legalis of kirubasa, with any of the arises, asa, with the exception of a father, a grandfather, with a granddaughter, and so on. So even though in malkim ala yichud, ve mosim ala yichud, if a married woman violates the isa yichud, they deserve, perhaps we should give makas mardis, malkim ala yichud, that's the end of Kiddushin. All the dinim of yichud at the very end of kedusha. Malkim ala yichud. However, ein oisim ala yichud. It's not a suffix. But if there was kinu yastira, if the husband is choshed his wife and he's mekane lo, bikini es ishta. Bikini means he gave a hasra al tistri mishplani because I'm choshed that you're having an affair with him. So if there was kinu and then followed with stira, so then is a raglaim ledover. That's the losh and gemara. The woman was nistira. And we said from the Balatanya that stira is not identical with yichud. Stira is something different from yichud. That, okay, we don't have to repeat it again. So then you say she becomes asura al baila. But the Saita Sofek, So what does it have to do with tuma? Why do we say sofik tuma b'shus ayechus ve'katame? So the Rishonim say because the lashon ha-pasuk is v'nitma, v'nitma, v'nitma. The pasuk repeats that verb three times. The Gemara says the first daf in Saita. Why is it written three times that she's asur la-baila, asur ala-boyel, and asur lechal b'tuma? But why does it say v'nitma? It should say v'zinsa. So the reason why it says v'nitma is to imply that this din of Safik Tumma B'shus HaYochid, that after Kini Astir, she becomes Asur HaBayla, carries over to Tumma as well. So we assume that that's the marker for the whole din of Safik Tumma B'shus HaYochid, Sveika Tomi. So what's Takada din by a Saita Safik? She becomes Asura. If you have a Saita Vada means an Eshe Sisha Zinsa. You know for sure that the woman was Mazana. There's a lav, not an essay. If it's a Saita Safik, it's only an Iser essay. But well, we just said that the Safik Tuma B'shus HaYochid Sveika Tomei Vadai. It's Tomei Vadai. So if it's Tomei Vadai, how come there's no Malkus? So the answer has to be Keren Eira is a Sefer on Kochim and on the Dorim Nazir on Saito has a lot of Kochim there. Keren Eira was written by the younger brother of the author of the Mishkanes Yankiv. Mishkanes Yankiv is one of the first Talmidim of Rab Chaim Valojana when he founded Valojana Yeshiva. He used to visit the yeshiva every year after he had a rabbanus. He was the rabbi in Karlin, in Stolen, in Stolen Karlin. And because he learned the Balojan, he was a misnagid, and they had the Stolen Hasidim. So quite a few of his tshuvas are to prove that practices that the Hasidim had were incorrect, were improper. Okay. But the regular quotes has a lot of normal tshuvas. They're not all against the Hasidim. So the young, when he passed away, so his brother, the Keren Eira, took over his rabbanus in Stolen. He was known as Rabbi Yankel Karlina, because he was the rabbi in Karlin, the Mishkanes Yankiv. Mishnah Berurah quotes Mishkanes Yankiv every so often from Chelek Aruch Chaim. But he has tshuvas on all Arba Chelka Shenoch. It's a very strong tshuvas. So the Keren Eira has a piece on Nazir in the beginning of Perek Shnei Nazirim that we spoke about. That's where the Gemara on the first daf in Perek Shnei Nazirim, that's at the end of the Masechta Nazir. So the Mishnah talks about two Nazirim are near each other and the third person is far away from them. He's in the same room, but he's not near the other two. He says, "Reisi echem mekem shenitma b'meis." One of the two of you, if Nazir becomes nitma l'meis, so the whole malois of the Naziris is but, let's say it's Mekabal Naziris for 300 days. And then on day 295, he's accidentally nitma b'meis. So the Pasuk says, "Mi'am seisa meisol abefesa pisam b'timei rosh nizro ayamim harishanim yiplu." All the 295 days that he observed Naziris fall away. Ayamim harishanim yiplu, he has to have hazor shlishi shvi paraduma water. And then after Hazar Shlishi Shvi, he goes to the mikveh and he becomes Tohar. Then he has to start. Then he brings Korbanos Nazir Tomei. And then after he brings Korbanos Nazir Tomei, now he has to start counting the 300 days all over again. So the Mishnah has the case that one person tells the other two, one of the two of you, I was standing far away, I didn't notice which, but one of the two of you was Nitma Lameis, but I don't know which one. So how do you function? What do they do? Okay. So the Gemara asked the question, but if you have three people, should be Safik Tuma B'shus HaRabim Sveika Tor, they should both be Tohar. So the Gemara says he's talking to three people are not near each other. The two Nazirim, Reuben and Shimon at one end of the room, and the third one, the Erechanem and Bisurim, who notifies them, one of the two of you was Nitma, he's far away. But so that's the Gemara where it says that if you have three people together, then it's called the Sofik Tuma B'shus HaRabim, even though it's inside a house. The Gemara says, the Tosis on the first half in Chulim, we learned last year, based on the base. Tosis says in the base HaMikdash, usually there was a big crowd of people, a lot of Kohanim, a lot of Yisraelim, so if there'll be a Sofik Tuma. And the base HaMikdash, it'll be Sofik Tuma B'shus HaRabim, Sveika Tor. Even though the base HaMikdash has walls around it, and for Shabbos purposes, it's certainly Rishus HaYochid, they didn't violate the Yisrael Tzor when they carried the dam and so on. It's a Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos purposes, but since there are a lot of people together, the three people together, so any Sofik Tumah that will occur in the Beis HaMikdash will be a Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim. So the Keren Eira has a comment on the on the first daf in Nazir, in the first daf in Perek Shnei Nazir, in the end of the Masechta, Taisus raises a question on the Gemara. The Gemara says that if the three people are near each other, Safik Tum and B'shus Rabbim Sveka Tahor, so that both Nazir and Matahor, nobody brings any Karbanos Nazir Tomei. So how come the Mishnah says it's a Safik, which one of them is Tomei? It should be Safik Tum and B'shus Rabbim. The Gemara says, no, the third person, the Eid Echod, is far away. He's not close to the other two. So Taisus says to Kasha, so the Gemara didn't finish the story. So if the third one is far away, then it's b'shus ha'yachid. So sofik to b'shus ha'yachid, sveka tomei v'adai. So they should both bring a korban nazir tomei. Why does the Mishnah say they should both chip in and they should purchase korbanos together and they should bring a korban, the korbanos for nazir chenitma? They both need hazor shlish shvi misofik. They both have to go to mikveh after the hazor shvi. Then they both should, but only one of them was nitma memes. You don't know which one. So both of them together should chip in and buy a set of Karbanos Nazir Tomei, and they should say, either it's for Reuven or it's for Shimon. And even though each one paid for half, so he said, I'm giving my half to Reuven, he's giving his half to Shimon, whoever is supposed to bring the Korban. Then they should both wait, whatever, 300 days, whatever the Ned HaNaziris was. Could be that they took, he took 100 days, he took 30 days, he took 40 days, whatever. So each one, they should both wait till his man is up, and then they both bring Karbanos Nazir Tahor. So how come, so why does the Gemara say that it's a Safek, and they bring the Karban Nazir, they bring the Karbanos Nazir Tomei, Mi Safek, either Reuven or Shimon? Once you say that the three people are not together, so there are only two people next to each other, the Reuven and Shimon, and the third one is the other end of the room. So it should be Safik Tumah B'shus Ha'yachid Sveka Tomei V'Hadai. They should both bring Karbanos Nazir Tomei. That's Taisus Kash. So Taisus works on that Kash. So the Keren Ayra quotes Ayushalmi on that Sugya. Yerushalmi says, even though Safik Tumah B'shus Ha'yachid Sveka Tomei, but Ein HaNazir Megalei Acholov. Taisus didn't think so. But that Yerushalmi has like that. Ein HaNazir Megalei Acholov. What is that? There's a concept of tumash anozim migalech aleha, as opposed to tumash ein anozim migalech aleha. So the Rambam coined an expression that everybody uses today, because Rav Elvela quotes that Rambam a lot, and Rav Chaim in his sefer quotes it. There's tumas meis and there's tuma from atzma shel meis. The Chumash says, Kiyomis may sola befesa pisa mitime rosh nizrai, if the Nazir became tummy with the actual mace. So then, Ayamim Harashanim Yitlu, and he brings Karbanos Nazir tummy. But sometimes he had a hechetimtze with his Tumas mace, where he really actually didn't come in contact with a mace. Where do you have such a case of Tumas mace without Atzma Shal mace? So we have three cases. So one case is Cherev Harehu Kecholol. The Pasuk says the beginning of Parshas Chukas. These are important dinim. It's important to know. There's a Pasuk, if a person comes in contact with Chalal Cherev, or the mace of the Yetzer Madam, or the cover with Chalal Cherev. So the simple Pshat Chalal Cherev means Cholal is a dead body. Some a person dies, that's called a mace. Person was murdered, that's called a Cholal. Person was killed, so it's a Cholal. Let's say when you find the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply if you find a person died in Eretz Yisrael and you don't know who it is. That's a meis mitzvah, so you bury him. If he's kimatze cholol badam, if you find a person murdered in Eretz Yisrael, don't know the mihikol, you don't know who the murderer was. Murderer harmash asvivas hacholol, Bez Nagodol has to send representatives. They send a group of three people and they measure to the city's closest, and the city that's closest has to bring an Egla Rufa. So cholol means a dead body who clearly was murdered. So the simple pshat in the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, when he tells you that unlike other tameim, if a person is tameh, he goes to the mikveh. Sometimes he needs shivan hakim, then you go to the mikveh. But you go to the mikveh by a tameh meis, it's not enough to go to the mikveh. First, you have to have hazor shlishi shvi from paraduma water. He's a tohar ala tameh, and then the tameh is able to go to the mikveh. He needs someone else to help him. Usually a tameh meis can pull himself out from the tumah, go to the mikveh and fartik. Here he has to have, he's a tohar ala tameh, someone else has to prepare him in advance by being mazeh paraduma water, and then he has to go to the mikveh. So the simple pshat in the pasuk is, if a person is in contact with halal cherev, a dead body who was murdered with a sword. So the Torah Shebal Peh has a drasha of a halal cherev, cherev harehu kecholol. The sword with which the person was murdered also has the level of tumah like a dead body. Just like a dead body, we have a whole system. The halach has a whole system. So we call a dead body avi avos hatumah. What does it mean? Whoever goes to a funeral, whoever comes in contact with a dead, the chevra kadisha, who prepare the mace for the burial, so they're in contact with the mace. So whenever tumah is transmitted from one to another, so the level of tumah goes down. That's called the toldus. Toldus same lavka yotze behem. The Gemara has on the first daf from Baba Kama. Toldus by nizikin and by Shabbos means there are 39 avos melacha, 39 categories. And Arba Avos Nezikin, four categories, a Chof Dalet Avos Nezikin, whatever it is. And there are toldus, other hezekim, or other activities that is sufficiently similar to the original one that appears in the Chumash, that has, that falls under the same category. So we say toldus same kayotzebem. But by Tumah, the toldus don't mean something that's sufficiently similar, has the same din. It's a whole different concept of Avos and toldus. Toldus means, let's say, a woman is a nida. So she touches someone else. So the woman is a nida, is an avhatumah. She touches someone else, that person becomes a rishon letumah. That person touches food, it makes it into a sheni letumah. The food touches mashke, makes it into a shlishi letumah, and so on. When you keep on transmitting the tumah, and there are degrees, how far, it doesn't go to the what? There's no asiri letumah. And chulin only goes till sheni, and trumah goes till shlishi, and kachem goes to revi, poradumah goes to chamishi, and that's the end of the line. And a lot of this is only midirabbanan. Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, this is all midirabbanan. So toldus by tumah means when the tumah is transmitted, it always goes down a madrega. Toldus same, lav kayetzmem, goes down. So with those in contact with the mace become an av hatumah, so we call the mace avi avos hatumah, because when one is in contact with the mace, the tumah goes down a madrega, he becomes an av hatumah. So we say, halal cherev, the poshib shat and the posik doesn't mean it. Poshib shat means if you come in contact with a dead person who was murdered by a sword, so a dead body is metame, whether he was murdered or he died a natural death at the age of 120, does make a difference. A dead body is metame, and he has a din of avi avos hatumah. The one who's in contact becomes an av hatumah, and he touches someone else, shakes someone else's hand, he makes the other person a rishon letumah. So the Torah Shebal Peh has a drasha. Halal cherev, we treat it like a hekesh. Not only is the cholol an avi avos hatumah, the dead body, the cherev with which he was killed, is also has this din. Cherev harehu kecholol. So one of the commentaries on Mishnayis, one of the Rishonim on Mishnayis, the Aholos, the beginning of Aholos, says it's only cherev, the sword with which he was, if it was the murder weapon. But if it's a person dies and there's a metal spoon in the house, where he dies at home, or he dies in the hospital. And there's a metal fork, a knife, or there's some other metal kli, a pot or a pan, that there's no din of cherev or ekechol. So that's not correct. The Beferish and Mishnah said it's not correct. There's just a machloikis, Rashi and Tosis and Psochim, and it's a machloikis, the Ramam and the Ravid, and a Shaila and Yerideya. The dinam of Tumas Meis at the end of Yerideya. Yerideya, Chela Gimel, ends with the laws of Avelus. So the Shulchan Aruch has a few, about five simanim about Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. When is the Kohen permitted to come in contact with the mace, and what is he not allowed to? Pasuk in the beginning, Parshas Semar, Molakanim Bnei Aharon, the Nefesh Leitama Biyamav, Kim L'Shever HaKaravelav, the Zayin Kroivim, and so on. So there are around five simanim in Yeridei about that. One of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael around 25 years ago put out a whole sefer, like a dark tshuva just on those five simanim. There's a lot to say. Yeah. We were discussing a lot yesterday about tumas meis, if it's, when is it keva sosum, when is it tumas retzutzum. So there's a lot, and there's a lot to write about that. So there's a din of cherev harehu kecholol. Not only is the dead body avi avos hatumah, the spoon on the fork that's in the same room also becomes avi avos hatumah. And if someone comes in contact with that spoon, he becomes an av hatumah. So that was the Rabbi Natam was of the opinion that a kohen is not permitted to go, the cherev harei kecholol is metami ba'ohel, just like a mace is metami ba'ohel, so the cherev harei kecholol is also metami ba'ohel. I mentioned, I didn't finish the paragraph. didn't finish the sentence. There's a machlekes Rashi and Taisus in Psachim in the first parak. And there's a machlekes the Rambam and the Rabbi that's quoted in Yerideya, where the cherev harekechola only applies to kli mateches that touches the mace, or it's in the oil on mace, or it applies to any clothing, any beged, any kli other than kli cheres. Kli cheres, for sure, it doesn't apply. China dish, it doesn't apply. But if it's any other kelim other than a kli mateches, that's a machlekes. But for sure, it applies to kli mateches. So the Rabbi Natan is of the opinion that if you have a kli mateches, a person dies at home. Years ago, people died at home from old age, from sickness, but a person dies at home. And they have fleshig forks and knives, melechig forks and knives. So all the silverware, all the pots and pans become tomei. Avi avoy satum, cherev harei kecholo. The mason's metami ba'ohel. Then the cherev harei kecholo is also metami ba'ohel. So Rabbi Natan is of the opinion that a kohen is not permitted to enter into the oil where there was a mace. They already buried the mace a year ago, but the silverware and the pots and the metal pots and pans are still there. So Rabbi Natan is not a kohen, so he can afford to make such a chumrah. So he says a kohen is not allowed to enter any house. So Rabbi Chaim Kohen was a talmud of the Rabbi Natan, and at that time when they heard the Rabbi Natan's chumrah, he had already graduated. He already left and he lived in a different city. So he corresponded, he sent a letter to the Rabbi Natan. And he wrote the letter using biblical allusion. So he said, Eze bayis asher tivnu li, ein bayis asher ein shameis. Every house in Europe, someone must have died at some time or another, and every house has a spoon or a fork, a knife or a pot or a pan. So I can't walk into any house. That's impossible. That's impossible. So what's the answer? So Rabbi Chaim Kohen said, Tosfos in Brachos on Daf Yutesan and Beis, we were speaking a little bit yesterday about that. Tosfos in Brachos quotes from the Maseches Smachos. Maseches Smachos, we mentioned, just to review again, Maseches Smachos is a collection of brises. Some of them appear in Maseches Smachos means Hilchos Avelus. It's a euphemism. It's a Lashon Sagi Nohar. It's not the opposite of Smachos. Hilchas Avelos, so some Rishayim have swan, they call it Hilchas Machas, because Maseches Machas is really Maseches Avelos. So some of them are bona fide brises that are quoted in Nigmar, and some of them were composed by the Geonim. Maseches Machas is from the Mesichtes Ktanis. Maseches Sofrim is also Maseches Tzitzis. What else? Maseches Avodim. There are a few little Mesichtes Ktanis that are not from the days of the Tanoim. The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah talks about there are different things in the Maseches Sofrim that we don't follow everything from the Goyim. So the Magen Avraham writes that Maseches Smachos was written, these Maseches Ktanis were written in the days of the Goyim by the Goyim Eretz Yisrael. They were Goyim in Eretz Yisrael and Goyim in Bava. Goyim are after the days of the Amoraim. They were Tanoim, Amoraim, and then Rabbanan Sabaroi. Rabbanan Sabaroi are the ones who edited the Gemara. And then you had the days of the Gaonim. The name of the yeshiva was usually Gaon Yankov. And the president of the yeshiva is called Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yankov. So it's a long name. So instead of saying Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yankov, they said the Gaon. So today we use the term Gaon, a person as a very big Talmid Chacham. In the days of the Gaonim, not all of them were such great learners. Some of the famous ones were unusually great in learning. Rav Sadia Gaon, Rav Hai Gaon, there were other great Gaonim, but some of them were just the president of the yeshiva. Like Mr. Richard Joel was a nice fellow, but he'll be the first one to tell you he's not going to write a tshuva. He's not going to give up psak and halacha. Some of them are just the fundraisers. The president of yeshiva is Gaon Yankov. So whenever you find tshuvas Gaonim, you have to see whose signature appears on it. Is he from the prominent Gaonim whose opinion is to be considered seriously? Or is he just the president of president for fundraising purposes? So it says in the Maseches Smachos, and we pass on like this. Kol tuma shein hanozei megaleach aleha ein akoin muzer aleha. A koin is not allowed to come in contact with a mace. That's only atzma shel mace, to use the Rambam's expression. That not every Rambam became so famous, but this one, because Rav Chaim talks a lot about it, and Rav Elwell talks in his Sefer, so this line, this terminology from the Rambam became famous. There's Tumas Meis and there's Atzma Shal Meis. A Kohen and a Nazir, the same dinim. A Kohen and a Nazir are not allowed to come in contact with Atzma Shal Meis, as the Pasuk says by the Nazir in Parshas Nasa, where you have Isha Isha Kiyidu Kiyafli Lin Neda Nazir Lahazal Hashem in Parshas Nasa. So it says, Im Yomis Meis Ola Befesa Pisum. If the Nazir comes in contact with an actual mace, he's in the room. When a mace dies, the Atzmashal mace, then he has to be Hayam Rashanim Yitlu, has to start counting all over again. He has to bring Karbonis Nazir Tomei and start all over again. So that's only if you have Atzmashal mace. But if you have Tumas mace, without actually coming in contact with the mace, so it says in Masechus Mochus that the Kohen is not Muzer on that. So the Rabbi Natam didn't accept it. What do you mean it doesn't accept it? It's a Brisa Masechus Mochus. The answer is Masechus Mochus was composed by the Goyim. He has a right. He has a right to disagree. The Rambam often disagrees with the Goyim, and the Rambam often will quote the Goyim, and he disagrees. They're not the same authority as the Rabbi and Rav Ashi. The question is that this one is not only a Tosfos and Brachos Daf Yotes and Beis quotes it from Masechus Mochus. The problem is that on the margin, on the side of the Daf there in Brachos Daf Yotes and Beis. So if you look on the Masoris HaShas, just a footnote, if you look on the Masoris HaShas, so some of the cross-references are there. Some of the cross-references are in brackets. How come some are in brackets, some are not? So that all the cross-references, it says on the first page, on the title page, the title page in every Masichta, it says, the Ayin Nishpat Ner Mitzvah, with the cross references to the Rambam and the Smag and the Shulchan Aruch and the Masoris HaShas and the Torah Or, all the cross references to the Tanakh, all of this was put in by Rabbi Yeshua Boaz. Rabbi Yeshua Boaz lived before the days of the Ramah. The Ramah quotes him. And he's also the one who did the work on the Shilti Giborim, on the side of the Rif. You have a whole notes on the side. So sometimes, so usually he quotes the Smag, he quotes the Rosh, usually he quotes, and once in a while he says his own things. So that's called Hagoyas Alfasi. We call it the Shilti Giborim. So all of that work was done by Rabbi Yeshua Boaz, who was quoted by the Ramos. Obviously he lived before. And then every so often you have, a few times on every Amud, you have cross-references in the Masoris HaShas, and once in a while even in the Ayin Mishpat, the Mitzvah, that's in brackets. So it says on the first page, and the title page of the Gemara, all the things in the brackets were added by Rabbi Shaya Berlin, Umukofen Bechatzoi Ribua. They're going to be printed in brackets to distinguish. The original Amar Mekamis were put in by Rabbi Shua Boaz. I think he lived in Italy, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Shaya Berlin was a contemporary of the Nodi Behuda. He corresponded, that was in the 1700s. That was much later, at least two centuries later. 250 years later. So on the side of the page in Brochus Yutes and Beis, Matesis quotes the Masech HaSofrim, so Rabbi Natan feels free to disagree with the Goinim. So they have in brackets in the Masoris HaShas, Rabbi Shai Berlin added, it's not only in Masech HaSofrim, not only Masech HaSmachis, it's a Tosefta in Makis Perigimel. A Tosefta and Makis, that's Tosefta is reliable. The Tosefta is by Rav Chiya and Rav Boshia. The Gemara says all the Toseftas were authored by Rav Chiya and Rav Boshia. Those are very reliable. So that's why we have accepted this din. Even though the Rabbi Natan rejected it, we hold like Rav Chaim Kohen. It's impossible. It can't paskan like that. That a Kohen, it can't enter any house where anybody ever died. And all the spoons and forks and knives and the pots and pans, everything is matami ba'ohel. It can't be. So the answer is, even if it is matami ba'ohel, but the kohen is permitted. The kohen and the nazir are only prohibited from coming in contact with atzmashal meis. If you have tumas meis without atzmashal meis, that's not a problem. So that's one din that says lahakam and shulchan aruch. Then there's another din, goylal b'doifek. What is goylal b'doifek? So the Tosfos there, in Brachas, Yotes and Beis quotes. That's a Gemara in Chulin, but it's quoted in other Masechtas as well. It says in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, when it explains what you need a paraduma for if a person became Tomei, because he came in contact b'chalal cher v'abemesa b'yetzim adama b'kover. So it says there are loshen al pnei hu adama. if there's a dead body laying on the ground. So the Gemara says, "Al paneihu adama." We learn out from that phrase in the pasuk that gerul v'doifek also have a tumah, just like avi avoy satum, just like a mace is avi avoy satumah, just like cherev hareu kecholul lazan avi avoy satumah. Gerul v'doifek is also avi avoy satumah. What is the gerul v'doifek? So Rashi learns in a few places in Shas. Rashi learns you put a mace in a wooden coffin. So the walls of the coffin, the four walls on and all the four sides, that's called the doifek. And the lid of the coffin is called the girdle. So not only is the mace matame, even the girdle of the doifek is also matame. So let's say, so the Gemara there in Brachas, we mentioned yesterday the Gemara. Gemara in Brachas says about one of the Tanoim was a Kohen. Ablezer ben Psarik was a Kohen. So he says, Medalgim hayinu al gabi aroinus. There were bodies, Jewish bodies, that were in coffins. They didn't have a chance to bury them yet. And he once went for the purpose of Kavod Abrius. There's a mitzvah of Kavod Abrius. Where's that mitzvah of Kavod Abrius? Lo yitamo. We mentioned yesterday, Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, in Soita Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, there are three psukim, where there's Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, how to read the pasuk, whether the pasuk tells you something is mutar, or the pasuk means that you're mechuyif. Here it says, lo yitamo. Lachas ha-psula shelo hoysa li'ish. Lo yitama, if the Kohen's sister died, so Rabbi Shmuel learns he's permitted to be mitame, even though usually there's an Issa Tumas Meis, the Kohen is allowed to be mitame to design Kroivim. Brother or sister, father or mother, son or daughter, and spouse, and the wife. So those are design Kroivim. So Rabbi Shmuel learns Pshat lo yitama is a Rishus. And we paskan like Rabbi Akiva, lo yitama is a Chayva, the Kohen is mechuyev to be mitame to design Kroivim. What's it doing in Soita Dav Gimel Amud Aleph? Because one of the three psukim where they have a machlokes is Vavar Alav Rakina Bikina Yesishtoi. So Bishmal says Rishus is not a chiyuv. The husband is not mechuyev to be choshev his wife and to warn her altistri and mishploni if he doesn't have any concerns. He doesn't think she's having an affair. He doesn't have to give her a hard time. And the din is like Rabbi Akiva that the overall rakinah v'kinah sish is a chayva. He's mechuyev to be warn his wife, mechuyev to give a hasra al tistri and mishpleni. And the third case where they argue is it says if you have an eved ivri, you have to set him free at the end of sheish when it comes yom kippur shal yovel. But if you have an eved knayne liyala mehem tavoida, you don't have to set him free at the end of sheish, nor do you have to set him free when it comes yom kippur shal yovel. You can keep the Eved Kanaini forever as an Eved. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Rishus, if you want to let him free, if you have a reason why you want to set him free, Rabbi Kiva says, no. So that's what Taisus and the Rishonim raise an issue. According to Rabbi Kiva, he just added another three mitzvahs. So according to Rabbi Kiva, there's 616 mitzvahs. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there are only 613. Or according to Rabbi Kiva, this 613, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there are only 610. What happened? You have three more mitzvahs according to Rabbi Akiva. But that's what the Ramban says. Whenever a Tana is going to delete a couple of mitzvahs, he's going to have to add on some other mitzvahs. So that's the question. Which mitzvahs did Rabbi Shmuel add on? If he knocks off these three mitzvahs of Rabbi Akiva, what are the three mitzvahs that he's going to add on that Rabbi Akiva is not going to agree? So that's a whole discussion in the Moni HaMitzvah. Those who wrote commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvah, Ramban, and others talk a lot about that. So these are the two cases that are, okay. So again, so Goylo v'doifek, according to Rashi, refers to the lid of the coffin as the Goylo, and the doifek are the walls, the four walls on the four sides of the coffin. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha, just like a coin is not permitted to be metami to a mace. He should not be permitted to mimitame to the coffin either. So what does it help that the Roiv Aronis have a pasach tefach? Most coffins, the body is on the bottom of the coffin, and there's a tefach of empty space between the top of the mace, is laying flat, and the bottom of the lid. So what does it help that there's a pasach tefach of empty space, and it's chaytzitz b'fnei atumah. So the Kohanim Rab Lezer, Rab Tzadik is a Kohen. And he's jumping over. Medalgim hayinu al gabi haronis. We jumped on top of the aronis. in order to fulfill a Kavod Habriya situation, because Kavod Habriya is Decha de Rabbanans, and in our Torah, Rav Aron is Hapasech Tefach. It's Midrabbanan prohibited to jump on top. If anyone jumps on top of a coffin, he's Tomei Midrabbanan, because Miyot Aronis don't have a Pasech Tefach. So because Miyot don't have, so Midrabbanan said whoever jumps on top of a coffin is Tomei Midrabbanan, even if in truth it did have a Pasech Tefach, and therefore a Kohen is not allowed to jump on top of a coffin because of the Miyot Aronis that don't have a Pasech Tefach. So Tosis is bothered with the Kasha. What does it help that there's a Pasech Tefach, so there's no tumor from the mace? The lid of the coffin, it's Chaitzitz Bifnei tumor. But the lid of the coffin is the Goylo. So the Goylo is Matami Ba'ohel. So when you jump on top of the Goylo is Matami Ba'ohel. There are three kinds of Ohel. If I jump on top of the mace is carried on top of me. I'm in one end of the room, the mace is in the other end, and there's a roof that goes over both of us, so the tumah is nimshach. That's oil hamshocha. But this is more of an ohel. I'm medal gemayinu al gabi aronis. He's jumping on top of the coffin. He's being mahel on top of the goylo. So according to Rashi, it should be awesome. So Tosis gives two answers. So one answer is the one answer that we accept halacha. No, it's a tumah shein anozer megalech aleho. That's a mishnah anozer. That if the nozer became nitma to tumas mace without actually coming in contact with mace, this tumas mace without atzma shal mace, so then the days that he's tumi mace are not oil. Let's say he's mekabel naziris for 300 days. So those days that he's tumi mace are not oil. They don't count for the 300 days. But is it, you don't say hayamim harishanim yiplu. You don't say you have to start all over and you don't have to. And you don't have to bring enanozer megalechala. He doesn't have to shave off all the hair that he had. He doesn't have to bring the set of karbonis nozer tummy. That's only if he came in contact with actual atzma shel meis. So just like the Mishnah says that gerla b'doifik, it's a Mishnah nozer, gerla b'doifik, enanozer megalechala. So the coin in the nozer amuta letamei to tumas meis, because there's no atzma shel meis. So these two are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So that's one answer. The Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like that answer. How is Rabbi Lezmer of Sadek Kakoin? How is he allowed to jump over Medagma? You know, Al Gabi Arainus and Brachas Yutes on the base. So the answer that the Tosfos gave is because the girl of Bedofik is Enatum Enanozim Megalech Aleh Enakoin Muzer Aleh. But the Rabbeinu Tam holds that that's a loika alocha. Somehow he didn't realize that that's a Tosefta in Makas. That's why we do accept it, because it's a Tosefta. That's where the Goyim got. The Goyim who wrote the Maseches Mochas got it from the Tosefta. They didn't invent it. If they invented it, so Rabbeinu Tam has a right to disagree. But they didn't invent it. It's a Beferish Tosefta. That's why we have not accepted the Rabbeinu Tam. We accept this Tosefta. So these are the two dinim that are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. But the Rabbeinu Tam held that there is no such din, that even Tumah She'ein Anozim Megalech Aleha, the Kohen is Muzer Aleha. So how do you explain how the Kohen is allowed to jump on top of the Medal Gamayinu Agabi Aronis? So this led the Rabbeinu Tam to disagree with Rashi's Pshat in Gerla B'Doifek, where Rashi learns that it goes on the lid of the coffin and the walls around it. The Gerla is the lid, and the Doifek are the walls, the four walls around the coffin. Rabbeinu Tam says, not true at all. That's not Gerla B'Doifek. The Gerla B'Doifek is the Matzeva. And the Goylal is the main, according to Rashi, the Doifik are the four walls that hold up the lid. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Goylal is the Matzeva, and the Doifik are the stones that used to have to hold up the Matzeva. Today we have a big Matzeva, it doesn't need other stones to hold it up. But in the days of the Tanaim, they used to have two little stones on the side to hold the Matzeva up. So the Rabbeinu Tam said, that's Goylal the Doifik, but the lid on the coffin with the lid, is not Gerla B'Doifek at all, and there is not, since it's Chaitzitz B'Fnei Atume, so there's no Tumas Meis at all. That's the Rabbeinu Tam's answer, yeah. Is this relevant somewhere else? Yes. This Machloikis Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, what is the definition of Gerla B'Doifek is relevant for another din. When a person dies, let's say a person dies in New York, and they take the body to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. one of my relatives died at this, a distant relative died yesterday morning, and they're taking the body today to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to bury tonight probably. So when does the Shiva begin? So the Shiva doesn't begin right away after the person begins. The Gemara says you start counting Shiva, Mishas Stimas HaGoel, when they put the Goel on. So what does it mean? So according to Rashi, the Shiva begins when you put the body in a coffin and you put the lid on. The body is already in a coffin. It's already in the airport. No, it's not that they're taking the body to the airport today. The body is in the Sharm HaDas location in Brooklyn. They're going to take the body to the airport now, soon. So according to Rashi, the Shiva begins when you put the body into the coffin. You close the coffin, that's Timas HaGolo. We don't follow Rashi. We assume like the Rabbeinu Tam. We assume like the Rabbeinu Tam that Stimas HaGolo means when you finish burying the mace at the Gemar HaKvura. Now the Gemar HaKvura in the days of the Gemara meant they buried the person 6 feet under. They filled up the grave with offer and they put a matzeva. The practice used to be they put a matzeva the same day. So when you put the golol v'doifik, that's the gemar hakvura, whatever you plan to do that day. If you plan to fill up the whole grave, we said the other day, Meikar Adin, it's called, we quoted Rav Moshe Feinstein, has it shown, Meikar Adin, it's considered kvura bikarka. If you have 3 tfochim of offer on top of the mace, but the practice is you bury mace 6 feet under, so you have 6 feet of offer. So you can't just bury, put three tfachim of offer, and then they start counting Shiva. No, whatever you plan to do now, you didn't finish the gvur yet. So you have to finish the whole kever, and then usually they put a little higher than the rest of the ground, and then they, in the days of the gemar, they would put the matzeva on the same day. What about today? The minig is, by Chutz La'aretz minig is you don't put a matzeva till the end of the year. The two minhagim, one minig in Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in Yeridea and Hilchas Kvura, Rabbi Kiveger quotes from earlier Sfarim there were two minhagim. One minig was that they would put up the matzeva before the Yud Beis Chodesh, before the Yahrzeit. The other minig would be you put up the matzeva soon after the Yahrzeit. What does it have to do with the Yahrzeit? Because the Shir Shikha Ena Gzera Ena Meis Mishtalech Mishtakech Min Halev Arlacha Yud Beis Chodesh. When it comes after a year is up, after the person died, that's when you forget about the person. You keep on thinking about the person for a year, and after a year you forget. So the purpose of the Matzeva is that you shouldn't forget the person. That's why there's a Loshen in the Talmud Yerushalmi that Enosim Nefashis a Matzeva is sometimes referred to by the Gemara as a nefesh. Einosim nefashos litzadikim. There's no need to make a matzeva for a tzaddik. Divrehem hein hein zechroinam. The whole purpose of making a matzeva, we shouldn't forget the person. We're not going to forget the tzaddik. Divrehem hein hein zechroinam. We remember the Talmud Chacham because we say over his divrei Torah. So that's called nefashos. So that's why, because the shir shikha for a mace, the Gemara says, "Gzera ein ames mishtakech min alev ad lacha yud beis chodesh." So some had the minik to put up the matzeva soon before the yahrzeit to show we don't want to forget the person, and others had the minik to wait till after the yahrzeit. We forgot the person, and after we forgot, then we want to remind ourselves. So that's why the minik developed in Chutz La'aretz. You wait till about the yahrzeit, either soon before, or soon after. In Eretz Yisrael now, the common practice is you put up the matzeva by the shloshim. But in the days of the Gemara, Tosfos said they would put up the matzeva the same day. They wouldn't have such fancy matzevas the way they have today. You have fancy matzevas with a whole poem, with a whole acrostic, with a whole Rosh Hashanah. So it takes a while till you figure out what you're going to engrave over there. In the days of the Gemara, they just made a matzeva, 1, 2, 3. So that's what Tosfos says. If you plan to put a matzeva today, so until the Gemara HaKodesh, they're not like Rashi. Not like Rashi, that the Shiva begins when you put the lid on the coffin. Shiva doesn't begin till the Gemar HaKvura. Till the Gemar HaKvura. So the Gemar HaKvura is when you fill up the cavity of the grave with offer all the way to the top. Mikared, then all you need are 3 tfachim, but that's not the practice. You bury 6 feet under. So not only do you put the whole offer, you have a Tzuras HaKeva, you have a little offer above the ground. A little ground offer, and then you put a matzeva on top. If you don't plan to put the matzeva today, so the gemar hakvura, that's the same as hago. Right. So that's a machlek. Is yeah. How do we paskin? Yeah, we don't begin the shiva till after the gemar hakvura. We don't follow Rashi at all on this. We don't follow Rashi that the shiva begins right away, and it's not because halacha gedibra mekel ba'ovel. Maybe you say, well, it's a machlekes Rashi and the Rabbi Natan, whether the Shiva begins right away. So we go to Kula, like the Rabbi Natan, Shiva doesn't begin till the Gemar HaKfura. That's not always going to be Lakula. Sometimes going to be Lachumra. The Shiva is going to extend. If you would start earlier, so the Shiva would end earlier. So it's not necessarily based, it's not really based on Halakha the Rabbi Natan, but we really don't pass like Rashi. We assume like the Rabbi Natan that the Goylul is really the Matseva. And the shiva doesn't begin till later. So these are two examples of tumah shein hanazim migalech aleha. Then in Shulchan Aruch it says we do paskan like this tosefta in Makas Perigimel, and like the brisa in Maseches Moches, the Goyim got it from the tosefta in Makas. That called tumah shein hanazim migalech aleha. And it came as well. Two examples that are quoted la'aloch are cherev harei kecholol. The kohen is permitted to come into a room, even though there's spoons and forks, silverware that was there when the mace was there. So it's chever ekecholov. There's no atzmashal mace, and gadol bedoyfek is muta. There's no problem. The third din that really should have been dependent on this machlokes is what we spoke about yesterday. There's a din that's a question whether it's a deraisa derabanan. It's called sof tuma lotzeis. Let's say the mace is in a someone died in his apartment, and the door is closed. And there are no cracks in the floor. There's no. A lot of times there's a half an inch open on the bottom of the door between the door and the carpet, so that when you open the door, you won't rub out the carpet all the time. So a lot of times the door is not really chaytzitz b'fnei tumah because there's a little opening on the bottom. But let's say the door is closed and the tumah doesn't go out into the hallway. But still, we call the chevra kadisha, someone died, and they're going to come. In another couple of hours, I'm going to take the mace out. We know how we're going to take the mace out. I told over this story yesterday. Rabbi Lau was in shul in the great synagogue, and they called him across the street to the Plaza Hotel. I was there, punktat Shabbos. It was an unusual case. Usually people die in America, so they bring them to be buried to Eretz Yisrael. This fellow was from Broidus. So he died in Eretz Yisrael, and his family insisted they should bring him back to America to be buried in Broidus Cemetery. In Paramus, to be buried in Broyers Beis HaKvarim. They want to be buried together. So they had to take his body back to America to bury him here in America. So Kozman the mace was in the apartment in the hotel, so that there's either a din menator, a din medrabona, machloikis, what it is. The two Rashis in Maseches Beitza. One Rashi writes that it's Halach Moshe Misinai. One Rashi writes that it's Midrabbanan. So it's a contradiction. So on the side of the page, on the Rashi, on the margin, they write, look in the Shita Mukubetzes, Rabbi Tzala Ranchbuk quotes, look in the Shita Mukubetzes on Beitza, that they explain why there's not a contradiction in Rashi. Rashi seemed told sometimes Halach Moshe Misinai, and sometimes it's only a Din Midrabbanan. And others say, no, it's always a din midrabbanan. That's a question. But that's the nature of the din. Is it a din deraisa din rabbanan? But there is a din of seif tuma lotzis. Even though the mace is in a room and the tuma doesn't go past the door because there isn't even a crack. There isn't even a crack on the bottom to put in an envelope or something on the door. Can't even stick anything under the bottom of the door. There's no opening. Nonetheless, since we plan to take the mace out in another 4 hours, that's a din of seif tuma lotzis. So there's already tumah in the hallways, depending, and then you have to figure out where are they going to take them. They're not going to take them in the passenger elevator. They're going to take them in the freight elevator. So where does that lead you? What part of the building? So if everything is a continuation, and there's always a roof as you go, then that's sof tumah lotzeis. So sof tumah lotzeis also, there's no actual mace there, but it's tumas mace without actually atzmashal mace. So really, since we paskin like this, maseches moches, really should have been muta for a kohen. There should have been no prohibition for a kohen to go to a location where it's going to be a seif tumah lotzeis. Right now, there's no mace, there's no tumas mace. But because the mace is going to come, so therefore there's already a din of Sof Tumah Lotzeis. So it really should have been Mutah. So in Shulchan Aruch they write, even though we paskin lahokil by Cherav HaRekachol and by Gola the Doifik, we paskin Mutah, Sof Tumah Lotzeis, the minig always was Lahachmir. So therefore we leave it like that. Shalom L'Shaber, the Lashon that they use is Shalom L'Shaber is HaMinig. In Yiddish they say, Nish to Sebrechen the Minig, not to break the Minig. So in Hebrew they translated it, Shalom L'Shaber is HaMinig. That was always the Minig. So they left it like that, that Kohanim shouldn't come in contact with a Tumas Meis, even though it's only Seif Tumah Lotzeis. It really should have been Mutah, because it's really Tumah She'enah Nozeh Megal Echala. But that's the one from the three cases that should have been in the same boat together. So the Sof Tumah Lotzeis were machma, because the meaning always used to be like that. Some of the Stechemet is in a encyclopedia that was written 100 years ago by Asfardi, who was born in Hebron. He got a rabbonis in Uzbekistan or something like that. and they had different minhagim that he was not familiar with. So he was corresponding with many different rabbanim, with the Netziv and Reb Shlomo Levon in the late 1800s and so on. So he corresponded a lot, and then he put out a whole encyclopedia, Steich Hamed. So the Steich Hamed quotes some Achronim. I never saw it in others. So Steich Hamed quotes some Achronim that if you learn the Mishnais and Aholus, where they have these dinim of Sof Tumah Lotzeis, they only talk about Kalim becoming Tomei through Sof Tumah Lotzeis. They never talk about human beings, about people becoming Tomei through Sof Tumah Lotzeis. So some Gedolim had made an assumption that Sof Tumah Lotzeis is only a problem on Kalim. There's no problem on Odom. So the practice is not so. The practice is that it's a problem for the Kohanim, even though human beings, and the practice is we're Machmer, even though it should have really been Mutah, because it's a Tumah She'enah Nozeh Megal Echala, and we paskin lahokil by the girl of the doifik, by the cher of Reka Cholol. So here we are machmir. Yeah. So getting back again, we said there's a concept of Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid Sveika Tomei, learned that from the Parsha of Soito. What does it mean, Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid Sveika Tomei? You assume that it's really, that's what happened. No, we don't assume that's what happened. By a Soito Vadai, there's an Isalav. L'yichol Ba'al Rishon Sheshuch D'Loshon L'Kachta Achari Ashehu Tamor. That's the Gemara Yevam, is Yudalef on the base. If we ascertain that an Eshes Ish was Insa, so she's Asur al Baila with an Isa Lav. If it's only a Kinu Yastira, there's only an Isa Rasei. So, but this Pasuk tells you that Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid Sveika Tomei Vadai. So I should treat the Saita Sofik, because there's Raglaim Ladav Sharikini Lo Benistra. I should say that there's an Isa Lav. The answer is no. It's a Isa Vadai. But it's not the same Issa that it would have been if there would have been a Vadai Saita, a Saita Vadai. If there's a Eshes Ish Zinsa Vadai, there's a Lav. In this case of a Kinyan there, there's a Vadai Issa. Let's say the woman knows for a fact she was not Mizana. But because there was Kinyan Stira, so she's not allowed to be with her husband, even though she knows that she's innocent. She didn't do anything wrong. Doesn't matter. There's an Issa Labaila. There's three times the pasuk says v'nitma 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 echalabal echalabal echalitrum. Even though she knows that she's innocent, she didn't do anything. Her husband is paranoid, and he's always choshed her all kinds of things. I remember we had a boy in the yeshiva. This was at least 40 years ago. There was a boy who would not learn it at all. A shvach hakop. He was married to a regular girl. The girl decided she was only 19, he was something like 40. And she decided he was a Sephardi, she was a regular Ashkenazi, yeah. And she decided that she's going to marry this boy like Rabbi Akiva, and he's an Amharitz, and she's going to see to it that he should learn. He wasn't the right material, it just wasn't going to work. So he was, in addition to being 40 years old and not learned, he was also paranoid. So when they got married, they moved into an apartment, so there was a man's jacket there. He used to live in that apartment before. The jacket was from one of his friends. His friend used to live there. So he was choshed, the wife. She's having an affair with someone else. And the boyfriend, so he never had any money. So he didn't pay for the for the telephone, so they discontinued his telephone service. Didn't pay for the electricity bill, so they discontinued the electricity. So the poor girl was living in the dark. She was petrified from the husband. Then they had a baby. He said, it's not his baby. It's someone else. But the baby looked exactly, spitting image, exactly like the father. It was a Klorvin, a tug. It was his baby. He said, he's not the father of the baby. Now, but we had to convince her. I remember Rabbi Lifshitz, Zechan Levracha, said, because the girl lived near me. The girl lived on Bennett Avenue. Rabbi Lifshitz lived in the building where Rabbi Goldwicht lives now, near the yeshiva. So he said, because the girl lives near us, I have to go with my wife and convince the girl she should run away from her husband, which she had to do. She was petrified. We had to convince her to run away from her husband. And then we had to get the husband to give his wife a get. So he thought all the Ashkenazim were in conspiring against him. He thought he was a Sephardi. All the Ashkenazim, Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke to him, and it didn't help. And Rabbi David Lipshitz and everybody spoke to him. Nothing helped. What helped? Rabbi Dr. Gaon, who used to be the Sephardic chief rabbi of the British Commonwealth, happened to be in America. He used to visit the yeshiva. He used to have a Sephardic studies program. So he convinced him that he should give his wife a get. How did he convince him? He said, you give your wife a get that's a mitzvah. If you don't give her a get, we put you in harem. Put him in harem. So that's it. He did a mitzvah, not to be in harem. He was very happy. So they gave the get. Yeah. So let's say the husband was chayshed his wife. So let's say the wife knows that the husband is a meshugan, he's paranoid. She knows that she had no affair with anybody else. Even if it's kinei lo in istara, but the woman has an iser esse, she's not allowed to. In this case, it was kinei lo, but it was never an istara. The girl was a tzadekis. Then she remarried someone else, and she lives happily ever after with someone else. But she had the one son from the first husband, from the meshugan husband. So the din is, even if the wife knows that the whole thing is a paranoia from the husband, And the kinui was ridiculous. He's paranoid, but still, that's an isa rasei. It's not an isa b'toras sofik. It's an isa b'toras vaday, but it doesn't correspond to reality. If it would correspond to reality, it would have been a lav. But there's no lav. There's only an isa rasei. So that's what the Keren Oira writes on that gemara, the beginning of Perek Shnei Nezirim. When Tosfos asks the kasha, if the three people are not together, then it's a Safik Tumah B'Shus HaRabim. So they're both Tohar. Reuben and Shimon, the two Nazirim are both Tohar. If they're not together, the two Reuben and Shimon are one end of the room. And they Echad Nam and Bisum, it says, Reis Yech Mekem Shenitma is the other end of the room. So then the Gemara didn't finish the whole conversation, the Taisa says. And now it should be Safik Tumah B'Shus HaYochid. They should both be Tamei Vada. They should both bring a Korban Nazir Tamei. Why does it say they both chip in together and they buy one set of Korbanos and they make a Tanai? It's either for me or for you. They should both be Tamei Vada. So that's what the Keren Oira quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Even though Safik Tumah Shu Seyachid is Tamei Vada, but it's not Tamei Vada. If it's a Saita, it's not a lav, it's only an essay. It's tamei vada, a different essay. It's a different tumah. That's a tumah shein ano ezeh megaleach aleihem. That's like a tumas meis without atzma shel meis. So here there's a, here it's a, here there's a tumas meis without an atzma shel meis, right? It's a vadai tumas meis without atzma shel meis. So then the din is, you don't bring a korban ozeh tamei. A prime ozer has a tshuvas, three volumes of tshuvas that he penned during his lifetime, called Achiezer. And the first volume was Chelek Avinezer. So this is the first tshuva. The first volume is a story about an Eshes Ish Zinsa Vadai, about Chalitza. After the she never had any children, whether she needs Chalitza, it's a Machlekes HaRishonim. They arrive it on the bottom of the Rif and the beginning of Yevamos. So Machlekes, they arrive it in the other Rishonim, whether they need Chalitza or not. So in the middle of his tshuva, he refers to this idea from the Yerushalmi. I don't think he quotes it from the Keren Oira. He quotes it from Rab Chaim. He quotes Alufi Yudoi. When he learned the Malajin, so Rab Chaim was there at this. Rab Chaim Soloveitchik was there at the same time. Rab Chaim was much older than him. Rab Chaim died, I think, in 1918 or something, and Rab Chaim Moshe died in 1940 or 1941 or something like that. So in the middle of the tshuva, he quotes Rab Chaim said this. That's the Keren Oira's idea. That Sofik Tumah Mishu Seach, it's Sveika Tomei Vada. Yeah, it's a Vada Tumah, but it's not Atzma Shalmeis. Savare tumah, just like by Sota. It's an iser, but it's not an iser lav, it's only an iser aseh. Okay, so that's just to finish up some of the things we were working on yesterday. Just to review again, this is some important Gemara here. It's Nogei La'alocha. The Gemara quoted this Tosefta in Aholis, the last two lines on Tesam and Aleph going over to Omen Beis. Ma'ize Bishop Chasar Shal Metzegech Mehitila Nefer Lebor. There was a stillborn baby, and they threw it into the bar. Just this week, I was looking. We have a copy of Time magazine, I think, from last week, not 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure. So there's an essay there. A woman had a third miscarriage in 6 months. And she writes the way she and her husband buried the nafel in their backyard. They put the whole piece of flesh is only probably an inch by an inch or something. And when she went to the Beis HaKisa, it fell into the toilet bowl. So she picked it up and they put it into a box and they buried it in the backyard. By us, we wouldn't do that. Put it in the backyard. So then they're going to have flowers growing on top of it. They're going to cover it over. So then if a kohen goes, the kohen is matame. If anybody goes, they'll all become tummy mace. You don't have tumas mace all over the place. She writes, she and her husband are both atheists. They don't believe in anything. So she writes about her emotional status at the time that they were burying the nafel. So that's the story that the Gemara talks about. He til a nafel a bor, the shivcha to a nafel into the bor, and a bor kohen, the heat sits by the kohen, leaned over the opening of the bor, the piha bor, to see whether it's a zachar and a keva. So there's a question. Tosfos had two pshatim. Whose nafel was it? Was it the nafel of the shivcha? She's the one who lost the baby. She's the one who had the miscarriage. Or was the nafel of gevirta, of the balabasta? She threw it into the bar, but it wasn't her nafel. That's Tosfos discussed at the bottom. Tosfos on Amanal. Can you prove from this gemara that a shivcha keninus, who's loinish tachara, has a tumas yoledus? When a nochris, let's say a non-Jewish woman gives birth to a baby, then she converts the next day after. She doesn't have a tumas yoledus. If the later occurred, when she was a nachris, there's no tumas yoledus. So that's a question whether Shivcha Knainis has a sufficient Kedushas Yisrael, if we should assume that a Knainis, Shivcha Knainis, do not have a full Kedushas Yisrael. Rav Chaim quotes at Samachleikis HaRishayim. If you should assume they don't have a full Kedushas Yisrael, so maybe the Shivcha Knainis doesn't have Tumas Yoledus. The Tosfos says she does. Okay. Tosfos quotes from the bottom Tosfos on Tesam and Aleph said that she does have Tumas Yoledus. And we mentioned yesterday, I think, or the day before, whatever, there is a discussion, the Tosfos on the first Omid Beis in Perak Akusim, in the end of Nozer. Tosfos writes a wild idea that Ebekneini is not Mekabel Tumah. There's a Sefer Meinaf Toyach on Taras. The Rambam wrote Hakdama to say the Taras. One of the Maskilim said, the Hakdama to say the Taras is fantastic. So one of the Gedolim wrote a whole Sefer Meinaf Toyach is a commentary on the Hakdama Sarambam the Taras. The text of the Sefer is the Hakdama Sarambam on top of the page. On the bottom of the page, this Gadol from over 100 years ago writes comments on the Rambam. The Rambam has Hakdama to say the Kachem Motza. It's not as elaborate, it's not as fantastic as the Hakdama to say the Taras. But one of the Maskilim once made a comment. If all we had from the Rambam was the Hakdama to say the Kachem, which is not as good, not even as strong as the Hakdama to say the Taras, we would have known that the Rambam was a Gadol Ador in his generation. So the Hakdama to say the Taras is going fantastic. So in that Sefer, Meinaf Toyach, Asa Dorach Laner quotes this, in the Sefer Meinaf, Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, used to have the Sefer Meinaf Toyach on his desk all the time. He used to use it very often. This Sefer, where it's a commentary on the Rambam's Hakdama to the say the Taras. So the Meinaf Toyach has a Sofek, whether an Ebek Knaini is Metami Ba'ohel, when he dies, is a dina ka'akum, if you assume, like Rashi quoted over here, the Machlekes of Shimon and the Chachamim, Rashi 15 lines from the top of Tesem and Alakotz, the Machlekes from Yivam is Dap Samachal of Rab Shimon by Choy is of the opinion, Atem Kuriyam Odom, Einu Masadam Kuriyam Odom, because the Pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, by Por Adum, Odom Kiyam is Ba'oyo. So, a mace, Nivlas Behema is Matame Bemaga Bemasa, only for one day, you can go to Mikvah the same day. Odom Shemes is called a mace. We don't call him an avela, we call him a mace. And he's been tamed for 7 days. Even a mace ayakum, tamed by magam masa for 7 days. He need hazor shlish shvi from the par aduma water. But the question is, there's tumas ohel also. In connection with tumas ohel, so odom kiyomis ba ohel, so it's metame ba ohel. So that's machlis of Shimon by Yechai holds. Only mace Yisrael and metame ba ohel. Mace ayakum are only metame by magam masa. But the takamitami for Shiva, you need hazar shlishi shvi. It's not metame like a nevela, like a dead nevela. Meat in the AMP is tumas nevela, it's metame b'maga b'masa. And the chachamim disagree, and they hold that even meisei akama metame boya. So usually it's machloek, his tesis paskins like the chachamim, that meisei akama metame b'ohel, and the Shulchan Aruch assumes like the Rambam, that meisei akama not metame b'ohel. So that's what the main of toyach has a suffix whether Evet Knaini is Metame Ba'ohel. Taisus, that's not the Machlokes, Taisus and Rabbi Kiveger that I mentioned the other day. I mentioned Taisus writes on the first Omid Beis in Perek Hakusim, in the end of, I think it's the last Perek in Nazir, that Taisus writes that Evet Knaini is not Mekabel Tumah. That's wild. So Rabbi Kiveger said, that's ridiculous. What? Evet Knaini is like an Akum, not Mekabel Tumah. How can it be? But the main Avtarach has a different suffix, is Evet Knaini Metame Ba'ohel. So the Aruch Laner says, here the story, the simple pshat is, Maise b'shivchasu shal meitzikech, etila nefel abor, it was her nefel. Tosis is not sure. Maybe it's the nefel of Gevirta, maybe it was the Balabasta's nefel. But if it's her nefel, and you have a right from here, that Shivcha Knainis has tumas your lettuce, because that's why the Kohen went to check to see, is it the Zohar or an Akeva? Does she have to wait 7 days and 14 days before she goes to the mikveh? So the Mishnah, this is a Tosef and a Holos. So the Tosef and a Holos discusses the Kohen who lived over, does he become Tomei through Tumas Ohel or not? So you see that if the Nefel was the Nefel from the Shivcha, so you see before, according to Epshat and Tosef, you see before, so the Nebek Knaini is Metamei Ba'ohel. Like a Yisrael, not like a Meisayah. Okay. So Chalaneh points that out. So again, so the Gemara says the Viti Haruhu, the Kohen leaned over and he didn't see anything. Viti Haruhu, why? Neshechuldo o Bardalis Mentuyim Sham. And therefore what? There's a Raiv that the Raiv is, they probably Vadegir Haruhu. The Rav, it's a Rav Garua. The Gemara thought it's not a Rav Bor, it's not a Rav 85%, probably a Rav of 60, 65% likelihood that Geraruhu, the Kohen leaned over, didn't see anything in the Bor. So we assume Chuldo Bardlis must have dug a hole, or maybe there was a hole, a Chur, and they pulled it into that Chur. So the Gemara thought that we'll make all over here because of the Rav, that the Rav is, Chuldo Bardalis must have pulled it into the Chur in such a way that the Tumah doesn't go out. So that's what the Gemara said, but there's a Cheskas, but at one time there was a Vaday Meis, there was a Tumas Meis, so the Chazaka, the Meikor status quo, should we don't know whether there's still Tumas Meis. So we're assuming a Chuldo Bardalis must have pulled it into a Chur on the side. And we say it must have pulled it into a Chur in such a way that the Tumah doesn't go out any longer. And the way we have the Girs and the Gemara, not that Ochluhu, not Ochluhu, Loy Ochluhu, just they Giraru. They pulled the little bit, the Nefel, the tiny little Nefel, into a Chur on the side. And the Gemara thought that you have a raya from this Tosefta in Aholos, the Ruba Bachazok, Ruba Odif, even though it's only a Roiv Garua. The Gemara didn't think The Gemara comes to the conclusion, no, Hasan Vade Abade, that's a Beroi Bari, because he's a medactic and mitzvah is a chaver, extremely conscientious. And even though he died the same day, Peres ben Ayomin, he died the same day that he brought it into the house, it's a Beroi Bari that he was mafish Tumas and Mises on the same day. Over here, the Gemara doesn't think, it's not that the Chul de Bardlis are such conscientious animals. It's a right garua. It's not going to be a right bari that they schlepped it. But the Gemara thought, isn't it a case of right garua contradicting a chazake? And you say that the ruba chazake, ruba adif, you're mekel over here. Why are you mekel? Because ruba chazake, ruba adif, maybe you mekel because maybe it's shkulim, maybe ruba chazake are shkulim, maybe you mekel because the bari is a rishus harabim. So Tosfos says, no, apparently the boer is a Rishus HaYochid. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. The Tosfos in the same topic appears in the other two Masechtos, and Nida Daf Tezvav, and in Avodah Zarah Daf Membeis. So in Avodah Zarah Daf Membeis, the Tosfos writes, is the boer a Rishus HaYochid or a Rishus HaRabim? So they refer you to Masechus Shabbos. If the bar is 10 tefachim deep and a dalet al dalet on the floor, all the way from the floor to the top, then it's a rishus hayochid. Then it's going to be sofik tum and rishus hayochid, because you don't have three people in the bar. You don't have just the kohen has his head on top of the bar. There's not a crowd over there. So Tosfos assumes that the bar is not a rishus. Tosfos is not sure. If the bar is less than 10 tefachim deep, then it's not considered a different ground level from the top of the bar. So if the top of the bar is a Rishus HaRabim, then the inside of the bar will also be a Rishus HaRabim. So Tosfos is not sure, is the bar a Rishus HaYochid or a Rishus HaRabim? So they say, how do you see from this Tosefta in Aholos, the Ruba V'Chazaka Ruba Odif, even though it's only a Roiv Garua, that's when the Amor is proving. How do you see? Maybe Ruba V'Chazaka Ashkulim, and the reason why we're Mekel is because it's Safik Tum B'Shus HaRabim. That's what Tosfos asks. So Tosfos says, no, it must be that a Stam Bor, a normal Bor, has 10 Tefachim deep, and it has Dalet al Dalet. So the Bor is a Rishus HaYochid. So if the Bor is a Rishus HaYochid, so Safik Tum B'Shus HaYochid, Sveika Tomi, where's the room to be Mekel? The answer is no. We explain, Safik Tum B'Shus HaYochid is only if it's 50-50 Safik. If it's a Roiv, it's a Beferish Abrais at the end of the first Perek in Ksubis, that if you have 10 different pieces, you have 10 different pieces of dead animals, and 9 of them are from Shiratzim that are not from the Shmona Shiratzim Amur Matur. They're not Mitame at all. And one of them is one of the Shmona Shiratzim, and the person touched one of the 10. He doesn't know which one of the 10 he touched. So the odds are 9-1 that he's still tahar. So the Gemara says, even though you have a klal sofik tumah b'shus hayochid sveika tameh, but this is not called a sofik tumah, since there's a raiv, so the raiv is lahakal. So that's what Tosfos says. We're talking over here, the bar is a b'shus hayochid. Why? Because the stam bar has 10 tefachim deep and has dalet al dalet. So the bar is a b'shus hayochid, and the din should have been sofik tumah b'shus hayochid sveika tameh. So how come Tiharu, because of the Raiv, the Umdine, that Chuldo, Bardless, Mitzuyim, Shami, Gararuhu, not Gararuhu, Yachlu, Gararuhu, and they pulled it away in such a way that there won't be any more Tumas Ohel. So you see that even though I know that they threw in a Nafel into the Bor, so it's Beches, the Bor is Beches Kastuma, but we say Ruba Bahazoka, Ruba Adif, even though it's only a Rav Garua, right up 60-65% is a Rav Garua. So don't you see Ruba Bahazoka, Ruba Adif, and it's not governed with the rule of Safik Tumah Bishu Sayachit Sveika Tami, because it is a Rav. The Rav beats out the Cheskas Tumah. So Gemara answers, no, maybe it's a Safik Nefel. So there was no Cheskas Tumah. A Rav Garuist is a good Rav. The only thing is, if it comes in conflict with the Chazaka, then you say shkudim. Then you don't say ruba v'chazok, ruba odif. So the Tosfos assumes if the bor would have been a rishus harabim, and you would have ruba v'chazok with bishkulim, then you would be mekel. That's called the sofik tumah. Then you would be mekel. So it must be that the bor is a rishus hayachid, and the only reason why you have a right to be mekel, the only right the only reason why you have a right to be mekel is because ruba v'chazok or ruba odif. So you don't say sofik tumah b'shus sayach it's veke tomei vadai if you have a roiv lahakel. So you see ruba v'chazok is ruba odif. That's what Tosis says. So the boyer is a rishus sayach, and then Tosis has two versions. What about? But there's a possibility that the kohen where he's standing, where the ragle hakohen, his head he leans over the bor. So we said the bor is 10 tefachim deep, dalar al dalar. So the bor is rishus sayachet. What about where the kohen is standing? Maybe the chuldo bardalis dug a chur directly below the location where the kohen is standing. So maybe it's a tumer etzutza b'kasvei. So we don't know how big is the chur. Does it have a pesach tefach? Does it not have a pesach tefach? So what's the status of the area around it, around the bor? So Tosis came up with this. Tosis has two pshatim. So one pshat is that the bor itself is a rishus hayochid, but the ragle hakoyim are standing in the rishus harabim. So since it's a rishus harabim, so I say sofik tum rishus harabim sveka tohar. And the other pshat Tosis said was no. Maybe just like the bor is a rishus hayochid, maybe the area around is also a rishus hayochid. And it really should be sofik tumah should be sofik tumah should say sveka tomei. And the reason why we're mekel is because of the ruba de leisa kamon, and the rov is not only gerar ruhu v'yachluhu. That's the last line in the top Tosis. Maybe gerar ruhu v'yachluhu. That's not the way we have the girsa in the Gemara. The way we have the girsa in the Gemara, both in parentheses and before the parentheses, is just giraru, not achlu, not achlu. The Tosis suggests maybe there's a different girsa, giraru v'achlu. So that's why you make them. Okay. So these were the two. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not Efshel of Ara.
Means how much it
means how much it climbed.
Okay.
Okay.
The stomach. They probably didn't think of that till it's too late. And then a couple of days later, it's very too late to check. Maybe now the Mayfell is no longer there. They should have checked. Someone should have climbed down and checked. Should be Mavar. It's interesting.
Maybe it was dangerous to check.
Could also be. They can be bitten by the scorpions or whatever animals are climbing around there. It could be. But it's a very good point. You should check. In such a case, you should check, yes. You see, there's a point to bring up here. Tosis seems to be assuming if it's a roiv garua, the Gemara assumes that the sherek geraru, chuldo badlas msumi garu, is a roiv garua. And if it's becheskas tomei, so it's a ruba v'chazok eshkulim, so if it's shkulim, then you have the right to say, if it would be a rishus harabim, then you have the right to be mekel. Because that's, if it's shkulim, then it's sofik tumah b'shus harabim sveka lahakel. I wonder, maybe there's room to suggest, when do you say sofik tumah b'shus harabim sveka tomei? You have to check all the mishnais and all the tosefta's. I'm just saying on the top of my head. Maybe, for example, in Yevamos Daf Lamed Aleph, there's a famous sugya. What's a din if you have tray? Two Adam say woman is an eshesish. Two Adam say woman is not an eshesish. So is that a sveka deraisa or a sveka derabonim? So of course it's a sveka deraisa. Tray, of course that's sveka deraisa. Means no, if you have tray, and you have a chazaka, one way or the other. Let's say the woman was married for the last 5 years, and now the husband is missing. So two witnesses say we know for a fact that he's dead. Two witnesses say we know for a fact that he's not dead. So the woman has the cheskas eshesish for so many years. So when you have tray, do you ignore the chazaka? Because it's a suffix shalonita mahachra. So you just ignore the chazaka. Or do you say, no, tray is a suffix, and any suffix. So you pasken the suffix based on a chazaka. So there is such a concept of a suffix shalonita mahachra. The Gemara says if you hold tray is a sveka deraisa, and even a cheskas eshesish does not make her into a vada eshesish. We know she was married for the last 5 years. We don't know where the husband disappeared now. So it's trey. So So according Gemara says, if it's a sfeika deraisa, it means it's a suffix shana nitna lachra. So not only does chazaka not paskenois, you can't be machria based on hamoitza machavera all of harai either. Let's say you have train hasafik and mominus. So you have no right to paskenois hamoitza machavera all of harai either. That's also a hachra. It's a suffix shana nitna lachra. So I'm just wondering, maybe according to what the Gemara is pushing to say over here, that Ruba Bachazok Ruba Arif only applies to a Rav Bari. If it's a Rav Garua, if it's only 65% Rav as opposed to 85% Rav, then he says Ruba Chazok Ashkulim. So maybe that kind of a Safik Ashokal, maybe that's a Safik Shalanita Nahachra. So maybe you have no right to say if that would happen in a Rishus Arabim, it would be Lahakil. Tesis is assuming the favor is yes. This assume if you're Ruba v'chazok ashkulim, and it would be b'shus harabim, then it would be lohakal because sofik tumah b'shus harabim, sveika lakula. But I was just wondering, maybe there are other, I didn't find, maybe there are other rishonim who understand that that it's Ruba v'chazok ashkulim, if it's a roib garua, maybe shkulim makes it like a trey, is a sveika derais. Maybe it's a sofik shalanita lahachra. So to say that Sofik Tuma Bishus Rabim Sveika Tohar, that means you Machriya Lahakel. Maybe Rubel Chazake by Rub Garos is Sofik Shalanik and Lachra. We'll have to see if there are any Rishonim to say like that. I didn't find. Okay. Then the Gemara has a bit of a funny discussion about the Chulda when you're concerned, but you're not concerned. Okay. Not too important. Okay, we'll leave out the next 20 lines in the Gemara. Then you have the two dots, and the Gemara begins. Teisha tziburim shel matza ve'echad shel chametz. You have va'osa achba v'shaka v'le'adin and imatza shaka v'chametz shaka. The odds on an achba came lifaneinu and took matza, and I don't know whether it's a chametz diga matza or a pesach diga matza. So there's a din of kol kavua kemachza amachza dami. Yet where is the original din of kol kavua kemachza amachza dami? That's by Ritzicha. There's a machloike satanaim Rab Shimon and Achacham. What's the din? It's kavim laharagazeh baharagazeh. The pasuk says, "Chiyazid ish al reyel harga bi arma, b'chiyazid ish if he does b'mezid laharga bi arma to murder someone." So it says he's chayv misa. So why does it say the orav loy become alav? So it's a machlokes hatanoi. So that we paskin like the tana niskaven laharag zev harag zev spata machlokes hatanoi. He planned to kill a person, but he wanted to kill Reuven and he accidentally killed Shimon. But he did plan, and Reuven and Shimon both Yisraelim. If you kill a nochri, there's an iser. But you're not chayiv misa. If you kill a Yisrael, you're chayiv misa. So even skaven l'areg Reuven b'harge Shimon, they're both Yisraelim. So that's a machloike. So the Rambam paskins potter. It's a question why the Ravid raises the question. Why did the Rambam decide to paskin like Reb Shimon? Shouldn't we say yochid v'rabim halochid k'rabim? We ought to say that the skaven l'areg zeh b'harge zeh should be chayiv misa. Okay. So that's a question, why the Rambam, Machlek is the Rambam and the Rabbi, whether he passed like Reb Shimon, he passed like the Rabban. On the assumption that this Kavan Lahara Gazeh, Bahara Gazeh, is Chayiv Misa, so what if so the Pasuk says, V'arav Lai B'kam Alav, so the one Tana says, that's what it means. He has to intend to kill this person. If he intended to kill someone else and accidentally kill this person, not chayiv misa. And the Chachamim say it's not true. The skam l'aragazeh v'haragazeh is also chayiv misa. So what do you need? Doesn't the pasuk sound like it's not? V'arav lo b'kam alav. It sounds like he has particular intention to kill this particular person. So the next time it says, no. Prat l'zara geven l'go. There's a group of 10 people. I know that 9 of the 10 people are 10 people standing in a row. But it's the end of the block. So I'm looking from over here to there. I can't tell. I'm standing with people. We can't tell. We know that there are 10 people. 9 are Jewish and 1 is a Nochri. Hargas Anochri is not Chai Misa. There's an Isa, but you're not Chai Misa. And he says he wants to kill the one all the way at the right, the one at the end. So the odds are 9-1 that he's a Yisrael. So we assume that you need the Hasras Vadai. There's a Machloikis in the Gemara where the Hasras Tafik Shmo Hasra or Lav Shmo Hasra. So there's a problem with the, there seems to be a steer in the Rambam, how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam looks like he distinguishes between Malkus and Misa. That by Malkus and the Masa at the end of Malkus, it's Machloikis of Yechem and Shlokish, whether at the end of Chulin also, where the Hasra Safik Shmo Hasra, not by Malkus. So there the Rambam paskins Hasra Safik Ishmo Hasra, Yuachai Malkus. And by Misa, the Rambam seems to hold Hasra Safik Lav Shmo Hasra. So the question is, what if you have, the odds are 9-1. He wants to shoot the one all the way on the right, and they tell him, but the odds are 9-1 that that's a Yisrael, because we know that that's a group of people. We can't tell who's who. The odds are 9-1 that that's a Yisrael. He says, I don't care. I want to kill him anyway, even if it's a Yisrael. Then later on, it turns out that he did kill a Yisrael. Is that called the Hasras Vadai, because he go Basarayv, or not? So the Gemara says, Arav loy become a love. You call nafesh from meis, you chayiv misa. So whereas Reb Shimon learns pshat that tells you they didn't discover l'argaz of l'argaz es, but the rabbanon don't accept that, and the rabbit paskins like the rabbanon. So what does the pasuk come to exclude? V'arav lo b'kam alav. Prat l'zarek evan l'go. He shoots a bullet. He throws an evan to kill someone to go l'go b'nei adam, a group inside a group of people. He wants to kill this one. The odds are 9-1 that it's Israel, but there's a chance that it's a Nachri. So there, that's called Kol Kavua Kamachza Hamachza Dami, and that's called Hasra Safik. And Hasra Safik is not Chayv Misa. In order to be Chayv Malkus, Hasra Safik is enough. In order to be Chayv Misa, Hasra Safik is not good enough. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. This is problematic. This, the Nadi Behuda says like that. I think in the end of one of the volumes of the Nadi Behuda, there's a Dvar Torah by the son-in-law. I don't remember what his name is. Nobody famous. I don't remember. Talmud Chacham. So he says that's the Rambam's psak. Hasra Safek by Malkus is Chai Malkus. Hasra Safek by Misa is not Chai. It's a nice pshat in the Rambam. It promises against the Gemara, because the Gemara talks about Hikazeh b'chazav Hikazeh. A woman got divorced from the first husband and remarried right away. Then she has a baby soon after, and you can't tell. We can tell today by the blood type. Who is the father of the baby? Or you can tell, what does the baby look like? You can tell by the DNA who the baby is. But in the days of the Tanaim, a lot of times you couldn't tell who is the father of the baby. Is he the son of the first husband or the second husband? That's why there's a din that a woman who gets divorced or the husband dies has to wait 3 months. Tzadik Aleph, Tzadik Beis Yom of Havchana. You have to wait 92 days. You have to wait 90 full days in between the day that she got divorced and the day that she remarries. So if you have 3 full months in between, so will it be hukarubra already? We'll already know whether she's pregnant from the first husband or the first baby is going to be, if she has the first baby from the second husband a year and a half later, obviously she wasn't pregnant from the first husband. But she's going to have soon after she marries the first husband, 7-8 months after, and you can't tell. So if sometimes you can tell, it looks like a full-term baby with fingernails and with a lot of hair. So then it's obviously a 9-month pregnancy from the first husband. But sometimes you can't tell. So that's why they made a din. We assume it's only a din mid the Rabbanon. It's not a din mid the Torah. The Gemara has an asmachta that the Gemara learns off an asmachta. Lias lucho lelekim lezarcha acharecha, that it should be zara miyuchas achrov. We should know who the father of the baby is. But the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Pnei Yeshua that that's only an asmachta mid the Rabbanon. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it could be that Havchana by Giyuris, could be that that's a din deraisa, to know whether any given baby is harasa bigdusha, harasa shalom bigdusha. By a Giyuris, we want to know whether the baby's, what yichus does the baby have. But to know who the father is, the Pashta says that Havchana is only midirabonim, but still. What? But, so there is a din of Havchana.
There is a din of Havchana.
Okay.
Sorry. If Bizman is where we could test, is there still din of Tzadi Beis Yom?
Yes, there is. By a woman who's remarrying, there is a din, because the Gemara says, even if she's a skena, she's 95 years old, and even if the husband was imprisoned for the last 5 years, And even if they're not talking to each other for the last 20 years, even if Eliyahu Navi comes and he says Ruach HaKodesh that the woman is not pregnant, it's a loy plug rabban. That's beferish. So it doesn't help if you have a pregnancy test to ascertain that the woman is not pregnant, because the Gemara said Afiliyav Eliyahu. The question is, does that apply to a Giyuris? So that's a Sufik and the Chelkas Mechoikik on Ibn Ezra. You have the two commentaries. You have the Chelkas Mechoikik on the inside, and then you have the Bishmul on the outside, like Rashi on the inside and Tesa on the outside. So the Bishmul quotes this from the Chelkas Mechoikik, he's Mesupik, where the Havchana by Giyuris is also a Loi Plug, or just like by a woman who's divorced from the first husband or not. So the Sridi Yesh has two tshuvas. So the tshuva that he wrote before the war, he writes, since it's a suffix, so you have to have Havchana, even if she has a pregnant, even if we know she's pregnant from the husband. We know that the baby is Hairosa Shalav Bigdusha. The woman is converting, she's pregnant right now. She's obviously pregnant. So you still have to wait 3 months before she married. That's what the Sridi Yesh writes in the first shuva. Then the second shuva was written after the war. After the Second World War, a group of surviving Talmid HaChamim and Eretz Yisrael got together and they started working on the Otzer HaPoskim. They made a likut of all of the Achrayim on Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. So they wrote there on the Din of Havchana by Giyuris that it's a suffix in the Bechelkes Mechaikik and the Beishmuel, but the Menchas Chinuch is poishit, the suffix Menchas Chinuch. Usually Menchas Chinuch is for a pilpul, for learning. The Menchas Chinuch is poishit, the suffix in Halacha, from a Beferish Rambam, by when the Rambam quotes the Dinam of Yifas Toyer. So he writes, it says, V'yosha b'veisech avach, says, Aviv asim ha-yerach yamim, v'acha ken tov alehu v'yalto. So the Rambam says, she cries for a month, then you convert her, then she only has to wait 2 months, because the first month you know that she was in your house, she wasn't sleeping with anybody, she didn't become pregnant the first month. So the first month counts for Havchana, even though she didn't convert till after the first month. So you see Beferish from the Rambam, that's what the Menchas Chinuch points out. See Beferish from the Rambam by Yifas Toyer, that the 3 months that are needed by Giyurish and his Gaira are not a loy plug. Whenever you know that the woman is not pregnant, so there's no loy plug. You often, by the Molins, you make loy plugs. By Dinam Deraisa, you don't make loy plugs. Yeah, what do you say?
Well, Yerachimo anyway?
What do you mean, Yerachimo? Yeah, if a non-Jewish woman is pregnant with a baby, and then she gives birth to the baby after she converts, the baby will be Hairasa Shalah Bigdusha, Veleidasa Bigdusha. So that's what we want to wait Havchana for, to know whether it's Hairasa Bigdusha or Hairasa Shalah Bigdusha. So the question is that a loy plug, just like by an Eishes Ish with the first husband and second husband, they're both Jewish? It's going to be Hairasa Veleidasa Bigdusha, but you want to know who the father is. So that, the Gemara says, is a loy plug Rabbanan Afiliyahu, Eliyahu, even if Eliyahu Navi comes and he tells us that she is pregnant or not pregnant, you still need the Havchana. So do you say that by Giyuris, it's also a loy plug? So the Menchas Chinuch was Peshet, that is not a loy plug. So that's what the Sridi Yesh writes in the later tshuva, after they started printing, the Otzer HaPoskim quotes this Menchas Chinuch, he was Peshet to Shaila. The only Rishon who talks about it is the Rambam, and the Rambam goes Lahakel, right? So we rely on the Rambam. So that's where Moshe has a tshuva about that. In the tshuva, he's talking about a particular case where you had several tzadim lahakam. But Balpeh, I remember my father had the shayla. So Balpeh, he was making more that by a giyuris, if she takes the pregnancy test, you have to get a pregnancy test that's reliable. So then if it indicates one way or the other that she is or is not pregnant, so you put that into the ksava giyuris, you're right that the first baby she's going to have is going to be a rasa shalad bigdusha. Are you right? We ascertain that she's not pregnant. So, so she's allowed to remarry. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you have a pasuk, the Or of Love Become a Love. It says by a murderer, Or of Love Become a Love. So Reb Shimon holds that's what the pasuk tells you. This only if you're waiting and hiding an ambush for this particular person. Or of Love Become a Love. The Rambam pasuk is like Reb Shimon. The Rabbi holds you should pass Yochav Rama Lachagrab. Why should you pass like Kapshim and pass like the Chachamim? That you're chayiv. So according to the Chachamim, what does it mean? V'arav lo become alav. What it means is, Prat Lazark Evan Lego. If I want to kill the one at the end, there are 10 people in a row. If I walk over there, I'll know who's Jewish, who's a goy. They're wearing tzitzis and yarmulke, and the goy has no tzitzis, no yarmulke, but I'm all the way 2 blocks away, and I can't identify who's who. So that's called kol kavua kemachza amachza dami. And even though the odds are 9-1, I treat it as if kemachza amachza, and it's hasra, sofik lav shmo hasra, and you're not chayiv mis. So that's a problem, because in the Gemara talks about a woman who remarried within the 3 months. She didn't wait havchana. So the baby is born, and we're not sure whether the baby is the son of the first husband or the second husband. So there's a dina makarov v'ima, there's a dina mekalalov v'ima, that there's a chiyuv misa. So what if kilal zeh v'chazeh v'kilal zeh, hikah zeh v'chazeh v'hikah zeh, and the edim give them hasra, don't be mekalal, and they turn out that this is your father, you'll be chayiv misa. Then later on, he's mekalal the other one. They say, don't be mekalal this person. May turn out that he's your father. It turns out at the end of the day, he cursed both of them, or he hit both of them. So, but each time, it was only a hasra suffix. But it turns out, he vada did an avera. So the Gemara puts it together, the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, by the hasra suffix, shma hasra not, the Gemara equates the machlokes, the same machlokes by Malkus and by Misa. So that's the problem. How can the Nadi Behuda's son-in-law write the last page? I think it's in Madura Kama. After all the tshuvas are over, so there's a Dvar Torah on this Rambam by the son-in-law of the Nadi Behuda. So he says the Rambam paskins are split between Malkus and Misa. He said the problem is it's against the Bavli and it's against the Yerushalmi also. Both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi equate Hasra by Malkus and Hasra by Misa. That by both of them, it's the same din of Hasra. So how can you say by one Hasra Safik is Chai, one Hasra Safik is Pata? That's a question. Then there's another question. The Gemara had a discussion. What do you do with the phrase V'arav lo v'kam alav? So Reb Shimon holds, it tells you the din is Kaben l'hargazah v'hargazah is Pata. The Raman Paskin is like Reb Shimon. According to the Chachamim, the din is Kaben l'hargazah v'hargazah is Chayiv Misa. So what does the Pasuk teach me? So it teaches me, Prat l'zarek evan l'god, teaches me this din of kol kavua kemachza amachza dami. But if the Raman paskins like Reb Shimon, so how does he learn out two things from the same pasuk? V'arav lo v'kam alav tells you both dinim. This kavan lahargazeh v'hargazeh is poter, and it also tells you pat b'zorek evan lego that kol kavua kemachza amachza dami. So the Ran works on that kasha. He says, yeah, somehow or another we learn out two drushes from the same phrase. V'arav lo v'kam alav, we learn out two drushes. Very problematic. What's the logic behind it? How are you supposed to understand this din? Pile ploin. They told me that from Nachum Rabinowitz had just passed away a couple of months ago. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Male Adumim for many, many years. He had a doctorate in mathematics, and his doctoral dissertation was to explain mathematically why kol kavua kemachza amachza dami. I don't know, every time we learned Yeredeya, I heard Yeredeya 3 times from Rav Soloveitchik. Every time he tried to give a different explanation for Kavua, and every time he gave up. He couldn't be Magdaret. He couldn't even give a definition. Forget about an explanation. He couldn't even give a good definition. When they say called Kavua, that is a problem. Anyway, so the Gemara has over here, it did. Teisha Tziburim, Osa Achbar, an Achbar comes and takes, we're watching, but we're at the end of the block. We can't see. If we would be closer, we'd be able to see which are the 9 piles of matzah, which is the 1 pile of chametz. The odds are 9-1 that the Achbar took matzah. But since all the piles are standing there, and if you would come closer, you'd be able to identify which is which. So that's called kol kavua. And it's pirish lefanenu. We are watching the way the Achbar takes it. So I say kol kavua kemachza amachza dami. And what did the Achbar do? Was Achbar v'shokol, and the Achbar took it and he ran into a house that was already nivdak. I already did bedikas chametz. So the question is, does it make it back into a makom shemachnisim by chametz or not? So if the odds would be 9-1, if you wouldn't be kol kavua kemachza amachza, if it would have been a roiv, the roiv is the odds are 9-1 that it was matzah. So the bias is becheskas bodik and on afdik bebodik. But since this is a case of pirish lefanein, if we were watching when the achba took it, the shach niyaradeh quotes a machloi and simin kufyud. You have the dinim of kol kavua. Shver dinim. So the shach quotes that's a machloi because of rishanim. If the someone is pirish lefanein or the achba, we were watching where the achba was pirish lefanein, is that a kavua deraisa, kavua derabbanan? Okay, that's a machloi because of rishanim. But bottom line, we treat it as kavua. So we treat it as kavua. So we say kamachta machzadami. So the bias was becheskas bodik, and now it's a suffix where they became a makam shemachnis macham. So what's the din? So it's a, when you look in the letter gimel, yeteisha tziburim. So the letter gimel tells you the Rambam is in Parakeis Halacha Yud and Hilchas Chametz Matzah. So the Rambam writes the Pashim Shad, Kol Kavua Kamatza Machza Dami. So Yimuchiyev to be Boidik. So the Rabbit says, no, Bidikas Chametz is only the Rabbanan. And Kol Kavua makes it Machza Machza. So it's a Sofik Ashokol. So Sofik Bidikas Chametz, you're not Mechuyev. Yeah, that's why. Why does the Rambam Paskin, Bidikas Chametz is only the Rabbanan? Bidikas Chametz is only the Rabbanan. So why do you go to Chumra over here? So Tosis has one opinion. Tosis has one opinion, Bedikas Chametz only the Rabbanan, if you already were Mabatel the Chametz. But Kodem Bitl, then the Chiyuv Bedikas Chametz is their Isa, okay? That was Tosis had that Chiddush on Amud Aleph, and repeat it again over here. So if you hold like that, so it's called Kavua Din their Isa. But if you hold that Bedikas Chametz is never their Isa, it's only the Rabbanan. It's only the Rabbanan. So why don't you say Sveika the Rabbanan Lekula? So that's what we already had arrived before. We had arrived printed on the bottom of the page of the Rif that the whole Bedikas Chametz was instituted Melech Atchila ala Sofik. It's only maybe there's Chametz, maybe there's no Chametz. So you can't apply Sveika de Rabbanu Lekula here. The Raivid was explaining why were they more Mekel Hemnu Rabbanu Bede Rabbanu. Usually Akot Meshehigdil is Neman Andinim de Rabbanu. That's the Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Ksubis that this is quoted before. Akotin shehigdil is neman lahay begodlam asherua bekotno. But here we trust him. New rabbanu with the rabbanu dalit on the base. The tesis here you accept the namonis of the katn the katnusa. Why? So the rabbi explained because by every din the rabbanu we have sveka the rabbanu lekula. Bedikas chametz was instituted ala sofik. So you're always machmer b'makom sofik. But you always have to put in some clause in a din derabbanan that it should be a dead giveaway. You're not machmer and a din derabbanan to the same extent as a din deraisa. So that's why they put in a kula that even a kotn is naman de katnusa. Here the Raibid contradicts that. The Raibid writes on the Rambam that if it's kol kavua kamachza machza dami, so it's a sofik derabbanan lekula. So you don't have to be boidik. And the Rambam writes like that Raibid wrote. The Rambam writes that no, the whole bedikas chametz was instituted ala sofik. So you don't say Sveika de Rabbanu Lekula. And other Rishonim say that the reason why you go Lechomet because Kol Zman you're not Mevat Lechomet. So the Chayvah's Bedika is their eyes. Different sheet is here. Different sheet. Okay. Well, in that, we'll continue tomorrow. I think we'll learn till... I think maybe we'll learn till the Mishnah Yudam at base. And traditionally in the yeshivas, they don't learn what is it? Chnina's gana koinim. The end of the perek yud dalet to the end is all dinam of tumah v'tara. It's important dinam, but it's not so important for psochem. And maybe we'll learn till yudam beis, till the mishnah, and then we'll leave out. We'll start the second perek after we get to the mishnah yudam beis. We'll do the second perek. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. Believe me.